Good afternoon, listeners. This is the dogs program. Not the four-legged ones, the two-legged ones, the Council for the Defence of Government Schools. And we're here every Saturday. You might notice we didn't go on holidays. Oh no, thanks to Dale, we didn't go on holidays. Thanks to 3CR, we've been here all along because the cause is too important to let it even have a pause. We are here to defend and to promote public education. And this is the first New Year program. And this year, we're hoping that the community and the parents and the teachers and the principals of public education will stand up in Victoria and fight for that $2.4 billion that the Labor government have withdrawn from public education. I mean, this is chicken feed to the private schools, of course, but it's very important for our public schools, particularly those that enrol large numbers of children who have come from economic backgrounds that are not very flush. So let's have our press release 1057, and here is Andy to tell us about it.
Thanks, Jean. And this is the Australian Council for the Defence of Government Schools, press release number 1057. The state of public education is a growing concern for many parents, teachers and community members. The following suggestions laid out by Save Our Schools America has some application here in Australia. Budget cuts, crowded classrooms and a lack of resources are putting our children's futures at risk. If you're worried about the quality of education in your community schools, you're not alone. The good news is that there are ways for ordinary citizens to make a real difference. By getting informed, using your voice, and supporting the right initiatives, you can help save our schools. Here's an in-depth look at the major challenges facing public schools today, as well as proven strategies and practical tips to improve your local schools. The challenges facing public education. Public education is an essential pillar of our society, providing students with the knowledge and skills they need to succeed in life. However, our public schools are facing numerous challenges that threaten their ability to deliver a quality education to all students. In this article, we'll explore some of the most pressing challenges facing public education today. Declining funding. One of the biggest challenges facing public education is the decline in funding. Many schools are grappling with budget cuts, resulting in reduced resources and limited opportunities for students. According to a 2022 report by the National Education Association, the NEA, since the Great Recession, state funding for public schools has decreased by an average of 7.7% per student. This decline in funding has had a detrimental impact on classroom resources, school infrastructure, and teacher salaries. Overcrowded classrooms. Overcrowded classrooms are another significant challenge plaguing public education. With limited resources and growing student populations, many schools are struggling to accommodate all students adequately. Large class sizes make it difficult for teachers to provide individualised attention and support to each student. Moreover, overcrowded classrooms can lead to increased disciplinary issues and hinder the overall learning environment. Teacher shortages. Teacher shortages have become a pressing concern in public education. Many schools are struggling to attract and retain qualified teachers, leading to a deficit in the education workforce. There is a nationwide shortage of teachers, with certain subject areas such as maths and special education experiencing particularly severe shortages. This shortage of qualified educators can have a detrimental impact on the quality of education students receive. Inadequate resources. Public schools often lack the necessary resources to provide a well-rounded education to their students. Insufficient funding, as mentioned earlier, plays a significant role in this issue. Many schools struggle to provide up-to-date textbooks, technology, and other essential materials. This lack of resources can hinder students' ability to learn and explore their interests fully. Additionally, it can perpetuate educational inequities, as schools in low-income areas are often the most affected. Get informed about your local schools. If you are concerned about the state of public schools in your community, the first step is to get informed. By understanding the current situation and challenges faced by your local schools, you can better advocate for necessary changes and support improvement efforts. Here are some ways to gather information. Attend school council meetings. Attending school meetings is an excellent way to stay informed about important decisions and discussions happening in your local schools. These meetings provide an opportunity to hear directly from school board members, administrators, and educators. By attending, you can gain insights into the current priorities and challenges facing your schools and voice your concerns or suggestions. Review school performance data. Another important step in getting informed is to review school performance data. This data can provide valuable insights into the academic achievements, graduation rates, and other important indicators of your local schools. Websites such as the National Database or your state's Department of Education website often provide access to this information. By analysing the data, you can identify areas of improvement and areas where your support may be needed the most. Talk to teachers and administrators. Engaging in conversations with teachers and administrators is a great way to gain a deeper understanding of the challenges and opportunities in your local schools. These individuals are on the front lines of education and can provide valuable insights into the specific needs of their students and schools. By listening to their experiences and perspectives, you can develop a more comprehensive understanding of the issues at hand. Learn about existing initiatives and programs. Many communities have existing initiatives and programs aimed at improving public education. By learning about these initiatives, you can find opportunities to get involved and support positive change. Local government websites, education-focused organisations, and community forums are great sources of information about these initiatives. Consider joining or supporting these efforts to make a difference in your local schools. Use your voice to advocate for public education. Here are some effective ways to speak up for public education. Contact elected officials. One of the most direct ways to advocate for public education is by contacting your elected officials. Whether it's your local school member, state representative, or senator, reaching out to them can have a significant impact. Express your concerns about the state of public education. Share your ideas for improvement and urge them to support policies that prioritise our schools. Remember, elected officials are there to represent you, so don't hesitate to make your voice heard. Speak at school meetings. School meetings are another crucial platform for advocating for public education. Attend these meetings and sign up to speak during the public comment period. Share your experiences, concerns, and suggestions with the committee members. By speaking directly to those responsible for making important decisions about our schools, you can raise awareness and influence policy changes. Your personal stories and insights have a powerful impact on shaping the future of public education in your community. Share relevant statistics, personal anecdotes, or success stories to make your case even more compelling. Be sure to include your contact information so that interested readers can follow up with you or join your cause. Remember, the more letters published, the greater the impact. Join or start a local education advocacy group. Joining or starting a local education advocacy group can amplify your voice and unite like-minded individuals who share your passion for public education. These groups often organise grassroots campaigns, lobby lawmakers, and raise awareness about critical issues affecting our schools. By working together, you can create a collective impact that is hard to ignore. Look for existing groups in your community or consider starting one yourself. With a strong network of advocates, you can work towards positive change in your local schools. Remember, advocating for public education is an ongoing effort. By using your voice and taking action, you can help save our public schools and provide a better future for all children. Additional tips for advocating for public education. Be specific and informed. When advocating for public education, it is important to be specific about your concerns and suggestions. Do some research to learn more about the challenges facing your local schools and the policies that could make a difference. Be positive and constructive. When speaking to elected officials, school board members, and other stakeholders, focus on the positive impact that a quality education can have on students and communities. Be constructive in your criticism and offer suggestions for improvement. Be persistent. It takes time and effort to make a difference in public education. Don't get discouraged if you don't see immediate results. Keep raising your voice and working with others to advocate for the changes we need. By following these tips, you can become a powerful advocate for public education and make a real difference in the lives of children in your community. Support and participate in school improvement initiatives. Here are a few ways you can support and participate in school improvement initiatives. Volunteer at your local school. Volunteering at your local school is a great way to contribute to its improvement. Whether you have expertise in a specific subject or simply have some free time to help out in the classroom, your presence and support can have a positive impact on both students and teachers. Here are some specific ways you can volunteer at your local school. Tutor students. Help out in the classroom with tasks such as grading papers, preparing materials, and supervising students. lead extracurricular activities such as clubs, sports teams or after-school programs, assist with school events such as fundraisers, parent-teacher conferences and field trips, support teachers through donations and appreciation. Teachers are the backbone of our education system and supporting them is essential for the success of our public schools. Consider making donations to your local school or specific classrooms to provide much needed resources and materials. Additionally, showing appreciation for teachers through thank you notes, small gifts or recognition events can go a long way in boosting their morale and motivation to continue making a difference in students' lives. Here are some specific ways to support teachers. Donate to the school's classroom supply fund or PTA fundraiser. Purchase supplies for a specific teacher or classroom. Write a thank you note to a teacher or administrator. Give a small gift to a teacher or administrator. Attend and participate in school events that honour teachers, such as Teacher Appreciation Week or Teacher of the Year Awards. A fascinating article from the US, and yes, many relevant points to the Australian situation. Back to you, Jean.
Thank you, Andy. And Victorian teachers have already been out and about on this issue. And there's a very interesting article in the AEU, the Australian Education Union, website. Not the education state, public school staff rally at Parliament House. Once again, over to Andy.
Thanks, Jean. Not the education state, public school staff rally at Parliament. The Premier Jacinta Allan and Education Minister Ben Carroll cannot call Victoria the education state when they have denied public schools $2.4 billion in funding. The Allan Labor government's cut to public school funding means that Victorian teachers will remain the lowest paid in Australia, with education support staff and school leaders undervalued. Inaction by the state government means Victorian public schools and students will still be the lowest funding in the country into 2026. Every Victorian public school teacher, principal, education support employee and student is feeling the effects of the $2.4 billion cut in public school funding, Australian Education Union Victorian Branch President Justin Mullaly said. Victoria cannot be called the education state when public school staff work on average 12 hours of unpaid overtime every week. A chronic workforce shortage is not adequately addressed, and support for students, teachers, principals, and education support staff is at an all-time low compared to the resources available in other states and territories. The government's education state slogan is complete nonsense when they don't fund our schools fairly and properly. Dissatisfaction among public school teachers across the state is very real, with only 3 in 10 teachers planning to stay in the public school system until retirement. The valuable work of every public school teacher, principal and education support staff member should be reflected in fair pay and conditions, Mr. Mullaly said. In 2026, a graduate Victorian teacher will be paid $79,589. In New South Wales, the same teacher will be paid $92,882. A graduate Victorian teacher will be paid $13,000 less than the same teacher in New South Wales. It seems that the Premier thinks it is okay to value the work of Victorian teachers so much less than that of their New South Wales counterparts, Mr. Mullaly said. New teachers in New South Wales get ahead by around $13,000 in their first year alone compared with new Victorian teachers. In a few years, that difference could be a home loan deposit. In the long run, this is a massive disadvantage to Victoria's hardworking public school workforce and adds to the shortage of teachers in Victoria. In 2026, an experienced Victorian teacher will be paid $118,063 compared to $133,422 for an experienced teacher in New South Wales, over $15,000 less. Victorian public school teachers are equally as deserving of decent pay that reflects the value and importance of their work as any other teacher in the country. Teachers, principals and education support staff all over the state deserve to work in a genuine education state, Mr. Mullaly said. Premier Allan must reverse her decision to cut funding by $2.4 billion in order to ensure that the hard work of public school teachers, principals and education support staff are valued and that every student can access the learning and wellbeing support they need and deserve. Back to you, Jean.
Yes, well, we've certainly started the new year with, we hope, motivation for a good fight for public education this year, but let's have a break from it, shall we?
Did you know that 3CR received its community radio licence in 1976?
Our application was successful because of our diverse and engaged community membership.
Subscribers are at the heart of our station.
Become a 3CR subscriber today.
Call 03 9419 8377 or subscribe online at 3cr.org.au/subscribe.
Panoply, panorama, panpipe, pansy, aha, pansexual, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. Sound interesting? Then join Sally on Sundays at noon for Out of the Pan. All those gender questions making you think too hard? Whether it's transgender, bisexual, polyamorous or beyond, we'll throw those questions into the pan and cook up the answers for you. So go on, push that gender envelope. Only on 3CR 855 AM digital and 3cr.org.au. Let's cook, 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 let's cook, let's
eat, let's eat.
You're listening to 3CR Community Radio 855 AM. Visit the 3CR website at 3cr.org.au/podcast to hear the most recent recording from each show, or 3cr.org.au/streaming to listen live.
Want to defend government schools? We are the DOGS, D-O-G-S, Defenders of Government Schools. Every week on the DOGS program, we have a special segment to show a different state school is a great school. If you're a parent, or if you're a kid, or if you're involved in the school in any way whatsoever, and you love your state school, give 3CR a call. We want to hear about these schools that we're defending. Brunswick Secondary
State schools are great.
Harkaway Primary School.
Sunshine North Primary
They're
School.
Really concerned about the welfare of the kids and their growth as people as well as learning.
You put on plays, you've got enrichment, you've got physical education, visual arts, languages, all that. In fact, is there a cooking?
Actually, an embracing of kids from disadvantaged backgrounds and with additional needs.
More than half of your kids are from some of the poorest families in Australia.
Yeah, definitely. That's the community and that's who we're servicing and that's who we welcome into the school.
Outdoor play is linked to healthier and happier children. This, in turn, leads to better grades.
In the weekly assemblies and stuff, they have a little thing, you've been caught being good, and they have a value of the week each week, and so it's not just words, it is actually.
So what do the teachers do when it's a building site? Yeah, they kick themselves out of their own staff room and turn it into a classroom.
Just a really nice culture and an emphasis on social skill building as well as learning. Quite a range of intellectual ability and kids with mental health diagnoses. Refugee kids who have not been in the country very long, don't necessarily start off with a
positive
great deal.
Relationships with each other, with teachers and with the community.
And they run a breakfast club. There's a recognition that some kids don't get breakfast and so there's food on.
If you are involved in a state school and it's a great school, we'd love to hear from you so we can talk about it and tell the world.
Leave a message for the DOGS at 3CR on 9419 8377.
State schools are great schools.
Great state schools.
Well, we hope you're still listening to the Council for the Defence of Government Schools here on 3CR, because we have a very interesting article from New South Wales. They've had a conference up there for activists. Now, our schools, our public schools, have children from all kinds of cultural backgrounds, but our curriculum is not always the kind of thing that they can identify with. Let's hear a very interesting article called Challenging the Narrative. Over to Sol.
Thanks, Jean. This article is entitled Challenging the Narrative, and was originally published in the New South Wales Teachers magazine. As educators and activists, we have the power to amplify the storytellers shaping our future. That was the inspiring message writer and sweatshop literacy movement general manager Winnie Dunn had for attendees of Federation's new activist conference on the 1st of November. Winnie is the author of Dirt Poor Islanders, Australia's first novel about the Tongan Australian community by a writer of Tongan heritage. It's autobiographical fiction, and it asks Australia to meet Pacifica people on our terms, Winnie said. It challenges the narrative that we are invisible unless we're in footy jerseys or court reports. It insists that our intersections and our language, including our slang, is in itself literature. Winnie said her life's work is to empower First Nations artists and artists of colour through reading, writing, and critical thinking. I'm deeply inspired by African American intersexual feminist and scholar Bell Hooks, who argued, "We cannot talk about freedom and justice in any culture unless we are talking about the mass-based literacy movements, because degrees of literacy determine how we see what we see," Winnie said. Growing up in the Mount Druitt area as an aspiring artist, Winnie thought Mount Druitt was the place literature went to die. "I didn't see myself at all. I didn't see my identity as a mixed race Tongan woman from Mount Druitt reflected in the stories I read, the films I watched, or the music I listened to," she said. "Even when I was in a public primary school, I didn't have access to books written by First Nations people or people of colour. Not a single one. Instead, our librarian kept a locked special cabinet for the students he deemed smart, filled with British and American titles like Harry Potter and A Series of Unfortunate Events. That was my first lesson in Australian education. Stories like mine were not considered literature. Belonging was something you had to be chosen for." She proposes an alternative: own voices, narratives, works created by us, for us, in our own words, vernacular, and rhythms, and for schools, libraries, and publishers to trust us enough to let us be the experts of our own stories, no matter how we read on the page or sound on the stage. The term own voices was coined to describe stories written by people from marginalised communities about those communities, not filtered through the gaze of a white saviour complex or a publisher's fear of controversy or a school's well-meaning but often misinformed concerns about the appropriateness of certain novels, Winnie said. Own voices stories are essential because they are specific, and specificity is where literature lives. Specificity is what makes literature human. The Australian literary landscape was never built with cultural and linguistically diverse communities in mind, let alone for us, she added. Historically, publishing has upheld white, middle class, and often elite narratives as the default. That's not just about gatekeeping, it's about imagination. If publishers, booksellers, and media don't believe stories from Pacifica communities can sell, then we're not just excluded, we're erased. That's why Dirt Poor Islanders had to be written, not just to exist on a shelf, but to crack the shelf open. Winnie said public schools matter because they can be radically inclusive spaces, especially when teachers fight to make them so. "You are shaping a generation who will know themselves through the story," she told attendees. "Public schools have the power to show every child they deserve to be seen, not just tolerated. There is no locked cabinet for a select few to open anymore. You hold the key to what all students can imagine for themselves." So when teachers today choose to display sweatshop books and other own voices titles proudly and openly on their shelves, you are actively dismantling that gatekeeping. You are telling Pacifica kids, Arab kids, Asian kids, Black kids, First Nations kids, your stories are not hidden away. They are part of Australian literature and part of our future, in all their slang, grammatical incorrectness, and confronting content, Winnie said. "Don't be afraid of how we speak and write. Fully embrace our diversity, not just what's palatable for Harmony Day. Put our books in your libraries, in your classrooms, in the hands of kids who've never seen themselves on the page. Let them know they are allowed to take up space on the shelves, in stories, and in this country. And back over to you, Jean.
Well, thank you very much, Sorrel, for that very interesting article. But now we've got some more research which has uncovered the burdens as carried by our public school principals. In recent weeks, we've had articles, we've been telling you about the many million dollar principals in private schools, but our public school principals don't get anything like that kind of funding, and they have a very, very heavy burden indeed, particularly since all around Australia, there has been the fashion of decentralising education and pushing the responsibilities down to the school level, but the power up to the centre, mainly in Canberra. Let's hear about this new research, shall we, from Andy?
Thanks, Jean. New research uncovers emotional burden carried by public school principals, and this is an AEU press release on the 24th of November. The AEU has today welcomed new research from Monash University that exposes the extreme and often invisible emotional demands placed on Australia's public school principals and is calling for urgent government action to address the escalating risks to their health, safety and well-being. The national study, Invisible Labour, Principals' Emotional Labour in Volatile Times, paints a stark picture of a profession under immense and unsustainable pressure, with principals reporting significant negative impacts, including insomnia, nightmares, physical illness, trauma, and symptoms consistent with PTSD. AEU Federal President Corina Haythorpe said the research confirms what principals, teachers and unions have been warning governments about for years, that principals are facing growing psychosocial hazards, including violence, burnout and emotional exhaustion that are not being adequately acknowledged or addressed. This research shows that Australia's public school principals are serving as first responders, crisis managers, counsellors, community leaders and administrators, often all at the same time and often without the support, resourcing or recognition they need, Ms. Haythorpe said. The emotional toll described in these testimonies is devastating. No principal should be left juggling 10 chainsaws, as one Queensland principal put it, while supporting their entire school community through a trauma. The Monash report identify intensifying emotional labour, much of it unacknowledged in policy frameworks, as a core and escalating risk in the principalship. Ms. Haythorpe said the findings should act as a catalyst for immediate government action. Principals are carrying the emotional load of a deeply underfunded system. They are supporting children with increasingly complex needs while navigating rising levels of violence, distress, and social volatility. It is morally indefensible for governments to ignore the human cost of this crisis, she said. If we want strong, stable, and thriving school communities, we must protect the people who lead them. We urge all governments to work with principal associations and unions to ensure principal well-being is embedded in legislation, policy and funding, including through the Better and Fairer Schools Agreement. And back to you, Jean.
Well, thank you, Andy, for that interesting article. And now it's time to go overseas with Jeff. We're not going to America, you'll be pleased to hear, and some very interesting material indeed. Over to Jeff.
Good afternoon, listeners. Now we're going to get into some interesting stuff today, involving some conspiracy theory and some travels to South America and Africa and all sorts of places. But let's have a listen to this one. Now, you may be familiar, you may have heard the story about the anger in America about the US taxpayer bailing out the Argentinians to the tune of $20 billion by Scott Bessent, the wealthy hedge fund manager who's now the American treasurer. Equivalent of Secretary of the Treasury. Anyway, it turns out there's a very good chance that some parts of his incentives to bail out the Javier Milei government down there, President Javier Milei, his government is getting the $20 billion and they're going to use that to pay off the debtors to Argentina. And once the debtors are paid back, then the peso will probably fall again. But that's just a rumour. All this is just speculation, according to some fairly well-educated people in Wall Street. because apparently Bessent and the hedge fund managers who hold the papers for these debts are mates. But anyway, we'll find out, no doubt. But in the meantime, it's an amazing coincidence that Milo's government is planning to change the role of public education. It's just an amazing coincidence. This article comes from Banieles Munoz. It appears on upi.com, the world news for Argentina. And it's from the 26th of December, 25. Interesting when they place the bad news just after Christmas, when no one's listening really to the news on education. So the article is entitled, Milei's Government Bill Cuts State Role in Argentina Public Education. It begins, Argentine President Javier Milei's administration is promoting a reform that seeks to redefine the role of the state in public education, curb direct government intervention, and give families greater control over their children's schooling. Buenos Aires, 26th of December. The Argentine President Javier Milei's government is promoting a reform that seeks to redefine the role of the state in public education, curb direct government intervention, and give families greater control over their children's schooling. A proposed law would legalise homeschooling, expand school choice, and grant parents a more active role in school governance, including mechanisms to influence the appointment of removal of principals. The stated goal is to introduce greater competition amongst educational institutions to attract students. The initiative has been submitted to Congress and debate could begin in March. The reform focuses primarily on basic education, which includes preschool, primary and secondary levels, while also introducing changes to the university financing system. If approved, it would fully replace the current national education law in force since 2006. Argentina faces a deep educational crisis, as shown by our students' results in national and international assessments, a report by the Ministry of Deregulation and the Secretariat of Education said. Internationally, the PISA tests, which measure skills in math, reading and science, show stagnation or sustained decline in the performance of Argentine students. Compared with other countries in the region, Argentina consistently ranks amongst the worst performers, the report said. Domestically, national assessments show that more than 80% of students in the final year of secondary school fail to reach the satisfactory levels in maths, while more than 40% have difficulties with reading comprehension. The official diagnosis also describes the system as overly centralised and bureaucratic, with little room for pedagogical innovation and oversight mechanisms considered weak and lacking transparency. The family is the natural and primary agent of education. Civil society is the space where it develops through various institutions and projects, and the state has the obligation to guarantee access, continuity and completion of studies at all levels, the draft law says. At the secondary level, reform would promote agreements between schools, companies and the productive sector to improve general education and vocational guidance. Basic education will also be declared an essential service, requiring a minimum level of classes. The bill recognises multiple teaching modalities, including in-person, hybrid, community-based, home-based and distance learning, all subject to supervision and evaluation under national or local standards. Julio Alonso, an academic at the University of Buenos Aires, told the UPI the education reform is part of a broader package of changes pushed by the government. It's not an isolated measure. It's linked to labour and tax reforms, he said. According to Alonso, the central change lies in redefining the role of the state relative to that of families. The state takes on a subsidiary role. It guarantees access, but the main decisions fall to parents. The family is formally established as the central actor in the education system. Another key point, he said, is the abandonment of a unified national curriculum. Provinces and the country's capital would assume full responsibility for education, while the federal government would be limited to settling common minimum content. The idea of a national education project is left behind. In practice, responsibilities are further delegated to provincial governments, Alonso said. He added that the initiative also decentralises education financing by eliminating the legal spending floor equivalent to 6% of gross domestic product. Under this reform, provinces would cover costs with their own resources while the national government would concentrate spending on direct transfers to families, he said. A third pillar of the proposal concerns teachers. With greater family participation in the evaluation processes, though not in hiring decisions, Alonzo warned, however, that the reform faces political and social obstacles. The ruling coalition lacks a majority in Congress and depends on support from provincial lawmakers, a weakness recently seen during the budget debate. On the social front, Alonzo anticipates strong resistance, particularly over cuts to the university system, with possible strikes and protest. That's the end of the article. But I thought, yeah, that's an interesting coincidence in timing that just after this $20 billion bailout by Bessent and the Trump administration, amazingly, they've decided to try and basically destroy the Argentinian public education system and replace it with some sort of cobbled together fantasy put together by companies and whoever seems to want to get involved. It sounds disastrous. I do hope it does not get through the Argentinian government's Congress. With that, I'm going to leave that sort of little conspiracy theory to you to have a think about. Now we're going to go to another thing I learnt about today. I didn't realise that in the top 10 cities in the world, the largest growing city in Africa is actually Lagos in Nigeria. It's a huge city. 17 to 21 million is the estimate of the number of people who live in Lagos. Who would have thought? I didn't know that. That was news to me. But this is just an article, actually came from the MSN website on Africa, and it is, there's no author listed actually, but it's just a news article. The Lagos state governor, it begins, the headline of the article is Lagos Developing Competitive Public School Education System, the article's by Sanwo Olu. My apologies. It begins. The Lagos State Governor, Babaji Sanwo Olu, that's the governor's name, has affirmed his administration's commitment to developing a competitive public education system, ensuring that Lagos state schools rival the best globally. He said the government is working towards achieving this goal through its continuous investment in upgrading and providing modern school infrastructure. This is really the opposite to Argentina by the sound of it. Sanwo Olu gave this commitment during the commissioning of 12 blocks of classrooms at Ilupeyu Community Grammar School in Lagos. Speaking, Sanwo Olu emphasised the importance of well-designed learning environments in shaping educational outcomes. Education remains a cornerstone of our development agenda. The substantial resources we have invested in upgrading schools reflect our inclusive policy and our belief that our children deserve the best. Our vision is to develop a public education system that can compete with the best in the world, he said. The governor was represented by the State Commissioner for Housing, Maruf Akinderu Fatai. He cited research highlighting the correlation between educational facilities and student achievement. A study in the United Kingdom found that environmental and design elements of school infrastructure accounted for 16% of the variation in students' academic progress. This underscores the critical role that school facilities play in shaping learning experiences, he stated. Sanwo Olu emphasised the significance of secondary education in shaping students' academic and professional futures, stressing the need to strengthen this level of learning. Secondary education is a pivotal stage that cultivates critical thinking skills essential for higher education and the workforce. Our goal is to enhance this stage to better equip our children for future challenges, he said. He said the ongoing rehabilitation and construction of classrooms all across divisions of Lagos would ensure equitable access to quality education infrastructure. Addressing students, Sanwo Olu urged them to make the most of the new facilities and remain dedicated to their studies. These classrooms are a testament to your family's contributions through taxes. As the primary beneficiaries, it is essential that you utilise them effectively for your academic growth and development, he said. He also acknowledged teachers' vital role in shaping future leaders, encouraging them to maintain the facilities. These upgraded facilities enhance your working environment. We urge you to continue delivering high-quality education and to ensure these resources are well-maintained for future generations, he said. The governor called on community leaders, parents and stakeholders to support the state's education initiatives. These schools benefit not just the students but the entire community. Your continued advocacy and partnership will be instrumental in preserving these facilities for future generations, he said. At United Christian Secondary School, Apapa Sanwo Olu was represented by the Commissioner for Women's Affairs and Poverty Alleviation, Ms. Bolaji Celicia Dada, who reaffirmed the state government's unwavering commitment to education as the foundation of Lagos' state future. The newly furnished classrooms, modern science laboratories, staff offices and administrative block at this school symbolise our vision of providing a conducive learning environment. He highlighted numerous projects undertaken by the Special Committee on Rehabilitation of Public Schools to renovate and construct classrooms across Lagos, ensuring that no community is left behind in the drive for educational excellence. The Governor further urged parents, teachers and community leaders to take ownership of the facilities by ensuring proper maintenance and preventing vandalism. Addressing students directly, he encouraged them to seize the opportunities available to them and strive for academic excellence. He also commended the SCRPS teams and contractors for their dedication to delivering high-quality school infrastructure. At Ipaya Junior Grammar School, Ipaya Governor Sanwo Olu, represented by Commissioner for Establishment Training and Present Pensions, Afolabi Ayanteo, stressed the importance of education in unlocking potential. He urged parents to ensure their wards pursue tertiary education, noting that the government provides free junior and secondary school education. The facilities there are there by the government. We have primary and secondary schools that are free. So what else do parents need other than to ensure their children receive the education they deserve? Tutor General of the Education District 1, Bashir Adeo, highlighted the government's efforts to equip students with practical skills for self-employment and job opportunities upon graduation. We have aggressively incorporated vocational training into our curriculum with 15 skills now available to students. Many of our schools are excelling in this area, Adeo said. Mary Fagaboye, principal of Ipaya Junior Grammar School, echoed these sentiments, stating that education remains the key to tackling economic challenges. Chairman of SCRPS, Mr. Hakim Smith, emphasised the importance of students understanding the efforts behind these projects, commending the SCRPS's team's dedication to research and quality construction. Tutor General and Permanent Secretary of Education District 4, Mr. Olusegun Oshinakia, lauded the government's investment in public schools, highlighting the key initiatives such as full payment of the 2025 WAC examination fees for all final year students, provision of modern libraries and laboratories to support learning. Anyway, that's as much as I'll do of the article. It's a long one. But it's just really good news that Lagos seems to really, really be supporting public education, and we hope that their efforts are absolutely successful, and the fact that they value public education so much speaks volumes. We support them entirely. And with that, I'm going to pass you back to the headquarters of the Dogs, and have a nice weekend. Cheerio, and Happy New Year. Oh, you've already had that. Cheers, bye.
Well, that was very interesting, wasn't it? Argentina and Lagos. But let's have a break, shall we?
Help us stay radical. Become a regular donor to 3CR. A regular donor is someone who loves 3CR so much that they set up an automatic donation to 3CR on the same day every month. Will you help 3CR by becoming a regular donor today? Together, we can keep independent voices on air. Go to 3cr.org.au.
Looking for an easy way to keep up with your annual 3CR subscription? You can now set up an annual debit from your bank account or credit card, and once a year your payment will be automatically deducted. You can cancel at any time and you'll get a reminder each year before payment. Be a constant supporter of Melbourne's precious independent community radio station and set up a recurring payment today. Just go to 3cr.org.au/subscribe.
For 3 years, teachers have had their qualifications, their pay, their pensions, and their working conditions attacked relentlessly by this government.
I'm the proud product of a government funded primary school education and of a government funded secondary school education.
Australia is one of the richest and luckiest countries in the world, and there's no reason whatsoever why we can't have the very best public schools in the world.
It's still not good enough that kids with disability miss out.
Our education is not for profit. Our education is not for profit. You're listening to The Dogs, the defence of government schools on 3CR.
Well, we hope that you're still listening to The Dogs because we're coming to the final and perhaps the best part of our program. You might have noticed before Christmas that particularly the Murdoch Press likes to see education and schools as in competition with each other. And no better way to bring this out than when the NAPLAN or the VCE results come out. And unfortunately, they are making or they're selling papers on this competition with the NAPLAN results, which were never intended to be used this way. And the education leaders around Australia are horrified at what is actually happening. So let's hear this article. The education leaders urge the media to end the harmful school league tables from the Australian Education Union people.
Thanks, Jean. Education leaders urge media to end harmful school league tables. Education leaders from across Australia have today written an open letter to News Corp Australia, calling on them to immediately cease the publication of misleading school league tables. Representatives from across the nation's education unions, principal associations, state and territory peak bodies, ACARA, PNC associations, sector leaders and academic experts have joined together in urging the media to act responsibly and end the publication of these crude and harmful tables. The joint open letter was published today in 9 newspapers after News Corp newspapers refused to publish the letter, for which advertising space had been booked. The 41 signatories expressed deep concern and dismay that News Corp continues to produce crude rankings based solely on NAPLAN data without accounting for the greater context of each school. They warn that these tables harm students, teachers and communities by oversimplifying complex learning environments and misrepresenting school performance. As the letter states, ranking schools in this way is not in the public interest, causes harm and does nothing to support improvement. Crude tables ignore progress, fail to show how schools help students grow, and undermine public confidence by reducing education to a simplistic competition. The leaders also highlight that data, when used responsibly, can inform improvements, celebrate genuine achievements, and help identify where additional resources are needed. They called on the media to refocus on deeper, more collaborative reporting that enhances community understanding rather than reducing schools to rankings. The ACARA CEO, Stephen Gneal, has this to say. When our education leaders, including teachers, principals and experts, join forces with parent groups to call out the harm creating and publishing crude league tables cause, ACARA expects those media organisations to heed the advice. ACARA has long discouraged the use of data from our MySchool website to create and publish league tables. They are misleading for our parents and carers as it doesn't tell the full picture of a school. It's also disrespectful to our hardworking teachers, principals and young people who deserve better, especially in those areas of significant socio-educational disadvantage. Only ACARA's MySchool website, myschool.edu.au, provides the comprehensive picture for every school in Australia for free. It gives parents and carers, as well as the wider community, a richer insight, which, of course, should always be accompanied by a visit to the school itself. And Karina Haythorpe, the AEU Federal President, has this to say. Publishing school league tables is irresponsible and harmful. These reductive rankings ignore the real work happening in classrooms every day and unfairly stigmatise schools and communities, particularly those already facing significant disadvantage. Teachers and principals work tirelessly to meet the diverse and complex needs of their students. Reducing their efforts to a single number is not only misleading, it is demoralising for teachers and damaging for school communities. NAPLAN data was never designed to be weaponised into league tables. When misused in this way, it distorts public understanding and undermines confidence in our public education system. Additionally, Brad Hayes, the IEU Federal Secretary, says, Schools are incredibly complex and diverse. Reducing them to simplistic league tables without context does a disservice to our school communities. It's lazy, clickbait journalism that undermines public understanding and does nothing to support quality education. Publicly ranking schools misuses NAPLAN data. It risks stigmatising communities and undermines collaboration to support all students. Data should improve learning outcomes, not fuel baseless competition. And Andy Meissen, the Australian Secondary Principals Association president, also says league tables reduce the complex, meaningful work of schools to a single number. They tell you nothing about how a school supports struggling students, builds resilience, or prepares young people for life beyond the classroom. Every year, dedicated educators watch their schools reduced to a simplistic ranking that ignores context, progress, and the realities of the communities they serve. It's demoralising and fundamentally unfair. Angela Falkenberg, the Australian Primary Principals Association president, says responsible reporting illuminates, it doesn't reduce. We invite the media to focus on the real stories of learning, growth, and innovation happening in every school. League tables are not in the public interest. Crude rankings offer heat, not light, and they do nothing to help families understand what truly makes a school strong. When we don't consider the varying advantages of students to begin with, we risk overlooking the real work schools do. Fair comparisons require understanding the context each school serves. And finally, according to Pazzi Sulberg from the University of Melbourne, research shows that standardised tests like NAPLAN are poor indicators of school quality because most variation in student scores is explained by factors outside the school, especially socioeconomic background, family resources, and broader community conditions. Exactly. Back to you, Jean.
Yes, well, thank you for that, Andy. That was very interesting. The interesting thing, perhaps, about all these league tables is that, in fact, the public schools did pretty well. And one of those is our great state school of the week. Let's hear about this great state school, shall we?
Every week on the Dogs Program, we have a special segment to show a different state school is a great school.
State schools are great schools.
School of the week. State school.
School of the week.
Great state schools. State schools.
School of the week. School for the week here on the Dogs Program.
And this week's great state school of the week is Wychproof P-12 College. Wychproof is a town in the centre of the Shire of Boolook in northwestern Victoria. As of the 2021 census, it had a population of 610. Wychproof P-12 College provides an engaging and diverse education from foundation to year 12 and has an enrolment base of approximately 95 students. Students are drawn from the surrounding areas of Wychproof and Nullawil and as such have a positive sense of community and a strong work ethic. The school aims to meet the educational, social and cultural needs of the students through promoting a caring, supportive and educationally challenging environment. Situated on large grounds with excellent sporting facilities, attractive buildings and gardens, the college is nestled within the heart of the community. There is a culture of high expectations at Wychproof P-12 College in terms of student learning and behaviour. Students are encouraged to be their best in all that they undertake, including sporting and musical attainment. Over the past decade, students have achieved excellent results in both the Victorian Certificate of Education, VCE, and the Victorian Certificate of Applied Learning, VCAL, resulting in the school being publicised as one of Victoria's top schools due to the percentage of VCE scores of 40 and over. As a school, we take delight in following the successful careers of many of our past students, both here in Australia and overseas. At Wychproof P-12 College, we expect our students to be well-mannered and work hard, and we will continue to seek opportunities to further build a culture of high academic, sporting and cultural outcomes. And now some facts and figures from ACARA. The enrolment currently is 90, and the ICSEA value is below average at 992, representative of a diverse rural community. The other 25% of parental income make up 10% of students. 18% of students have parents in the second quartile of incomes. The third quartile, i.e. below 50%, make up 32% of students, and 39% of students have parents in the lowest 25% of parental incomes, with 5% having a language background other than English, and 0% Indigenous students. The finances, recurrent grants from the Australian government of $887,000 and $3.28 million from the Victorian government. Private fees add another $55,000 and other private contributions, $10,000. And that works out at $45,440 per pupil. And the capital, $519,000 over 3 years. Back to you, Jean.
Well, congratulations to Witchy Proof Peter 12 College, our great state school of the week. And if you want to find out more about the dogs, you can go to our website at www.adogs.info. But from all of us here at 3CR, and most particularly from our great producer Dale and her offsider Andy and Zoral and Jeff and myself, it's Happy New Year and bye for now.
I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. I never died, says he. In Salt Lake City, Joe, says I, him standing by my bed. They framed you on a murder charge, says Joe, but I'm dead. Says Joe, but I'm dead. The copper bosses killed you, Joe. They shot you, Joe, says I. Takes more than guns to kill a man, says Joe, I didn't die, says Joe, I didn't die. And standing there as big as life, and smiling with his eyes, says Joe, what they can never kill, went on to organize, went on to organize. From San Diego up to Maine, in every mine and mill, where workers strike and organize, it's there you'll find your hill. It's there you'll find. I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he.
Needs members to survive. By becoming a subscriber, you're helping us to remain fiercely independent and free of commercials and corporate influence.
Are you a paid-up subscriber? It's just $40 concession, $80 waged, $150 for a band or organisation, and $300 solidarity.
Great value for 24/7 community-owned and community-controlled media. Please become a subscriber member today.
Call the station on 03-9419-8377 or sign up online at 3cr.org.au/subscribe.
Thanks for listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We rely on the financial support of listeners like yourself to keep going. Will you help 3CR by becoming a regular donor today? Together, we can keep independent voices on air. Go to 3cr.org.au. And thanks for your support.